clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Rainbows high and deep into the end zone, and it is caught. Caught for a touchdown. A leaping touchdown catch.
Here he goes. He'll be chased, and he is gone. 97 yards. Oh, what a way to start.
Does he get both feet in right here at the end, Jim?
What are they going to roll it? He caught it? Touchdown! He did what?
He runs to the 50. He runs to the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
We are seeing another spectacular effort by Marino, who fires. Touchdown!
Oh, that's loose.
Allen steps up.
Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first.
Says a prayer.
Stop it!
Oh, please!
What a catch!
That's insane!
The game's final play is a Wilson lock to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings simultaneous. Who has it? Who do they give it to? Touchdown!
Welcome into Simultaneous Catch, folks. I'm Adam Jeffrey Rossi.
It's been too long. I'm Josh Lapping.
And we have a third person on our show today.
I'm Cassidy Shock.
Cassidy Shock of the Greenbrier Historical Society.
Oh, we're throwing my workplace out there.
Oh, yeah, it's a
yeah,
big
Adam honor. Gives a lot of personal details.
Okay.
If he knew my social, I'm sure he'd give it out.
Everybody knows where we work.
Okay, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah. Mostly just because he said it. I never
it's true.
Turned that information
you're
on.
Very
I feel like there's.
Person.
I feel like there was an episode once where I started saying that, and you're like, people don't need to know this information. No, it was the episode, it was a Super Bowl episode where we talked about our hometown, and you're like, people don't need to know exactly where that was.
Yeah, you're like, we lived
here
on
in Pennsylvania.
We were apartment 102.
We weren't apartment 102.
I don't know.
It's 1809, and I remember that because I accidentally sent Chipotle to that apartment 5 times last year while I was living in North Carolina.
It was were we apartment 2? Were we 1?
1801A, or 1809A.
Oh, yeah. They were letters.
Yeah, they were letters.
Okay.
Anyway, welcome to the show, guys. Season 6 premiere. So, this is very exciting. One, we have another full-time guest, but two, this is going to be our 6th season.
Is this the... I felt like we've always gone, like...
It was... So, normally, I feel like we always do, like, the... When we... the new league year starts is the new season.
That feels wrong, but okay.
I'm the one who makes the rundown.
I'm pretty positive you're wrong.
Can we go to Stat Guy?
Throwback. Okay.
Early on in our show, we used to throw it to a guy called Stat Guy, and we would pause and enter like this fun little typewriter sound effect when we were just like looking
you
at something.
You act like I haven't listened to every single episode.
All right, anyway.
That's really impressive.
Welcome into the show, guys. Wow, that my audio is so much louder than your guys.
Well,
Cassidy, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit?
Where you work.
Where you're from, your social security number, and then,
Okay, well, I guess since we're throwing out all the personal information, I work for the Greenbrier Historical Society.
You don't really need to talk about that, I was kidding.
Yeah, thank you, I really don't want to.
Yeah, you don't have to.
I feel like my boss is going to find out about this and be like, so you're on a podcast.
If your boss listens, that's really cool. Thank you for listening,
I'll tell him to.
Richard.
Great.
You don't have to put his name out there, but okay. Sure. Just
doing all sorts of things today.
I guess.
So what I'm interested, because we do ask this about every new guest, about what your relationship is to football. Like, was it something that you, was part of your life growing up? Josh and I often talk about our relationship as kids, that when we were really young, we didn't really care about football and sort of how we came to like it, that kind of thing.
So my family is super into sports, but I'm not. I'm trying so hard to be now. But I grew up around it a lot. My uncles was the multiple of my uncles have been football coaches. My grandpa was the football and baseball coach. The Shocks are very involved in everything.
And now you're on a podcast.
And now I'm on a sports podcast.
So
my
that's
grandpa
pretty exciting
would be
news.
So proud of me. I am gonna call him about that later.
Oh, that's fun.
He's a baseball guy, but he'll enjoy the football thing too.
Yeah, we don't really talk a lot of baseball on the show.
Yeah,
sometimes
Adam
we talk hoops.
To talk baseball.
Sometimes
that's the only thing I know anything about.
Sometimes we just like to say hoops edition and start talking about basketball for a little bit. much. Maybe at the end of this podcast we'll do, because
we'll see.
NBL players are starting.
Yeah, we got to.
So when you do watch football, is there any particular team that you gravitate towards for any particular reason? I know you're from Ohio.
Yeah.
So.
I guess like Browns fan by extension.
Sure.
But
sure,
I grew up, we were a college football family more so Ohio State for life, I guess.
Ooh. We are Penn State guys on this
yeah.
show.
Yeah. So. And that's unfortunate for you.
Recent history would tell you, yes, that's accurate, but...
Yeah, we don't think about you guys, so...
It's true, though. Like, it's hilarious how many rivalries are like that. Like, Bills-Pats has been a rivalry my whole life, but not really to Pats fans, because we've never really bothered them.
Yeah, it's pretty one-sided.
But, like, Ohio State is Michigan. Mm-hmm. That's their big rival. Yeah. It's not Penn State, but I think they want this, like, PA, Ohio border... You know, war. And some people do think that way. I do, because I don't like Ohio State. But
never heard that growing up. It was always Michigan.
I don't know why. Is there a specific reason for that? Do you guys share a lake?
We share a border.
I'm really bad at geology.
I don't know the history.
Geology?
I said it wrong on purpose.
I don't know if you did.
I know it was geography. I'm just being silly. I was going to do it again and say geometry, but I don't know if you would have thought that was funny.
That would have made me feel like it was a joke.
Dang it. All right. Whatever. So, it's been since the Super Bowl since we've had an episode.
We've been
So, we do a little Super Bowl recap. I have one lingering thing about it that I think we should talk about, but I don't know if there are any lingering thoughts that you have. I think the big thing is the call versus the no call. Did you watch the Super Bowl, Cassidy?
I did.
Okay, I was going to say, I felt like you said you did.
I did watch it. That doesn't mean I understood anything about it, but I watched it.
And I will say, it was a good one to tune into, because it was a very exciting game, I felt, right? Did you feel that way?
Yeah, it was a good game.
Yeah, it was a good game. In terms of like Super Bowls go, some of them aren't always that exciting. But the call versus the no call at the end, I think, is the one true lingering thing that's discussable, right?
I mean, I don't even think it's been made into a much larger issue than I think it is, because...
Well, when I say the one thing that's discussable, I mean, like, so much time after passing, right?
Sure.
Like, it's the one thing that I think that people are going to remember the most from that game. I don't think they're going to remember a lot else.
I mean, it was a penalty.
Yeah.
I think... It'll be really fascinating, in my opinion, because it's been the last two Super Bowls that this has happened.
It's true. There was a pretty big call.
The last 2 minutes of the Super Bowl, whether or not you agree or not, are going to be officiated a little extra because the game's coming down to it.
Sure.
They have to... eyes are on it more so than any other moment. Is that fair? Probably not. But it's the reality of what it is. I mean, we spent 3 to 4 months... getting to this point, in the last 2 minutes, you're going to make sure that everyone's doing their job and doing it correctly.
Sure. And I think that, I mean, we're in agreement on this. This is a through line that happens a lot in football, Cassidy, and sports in general, I think, is the, you know, when's it, because like, the argument is that penalties happen on every play, right? We talk about this all the time, is that there's a holding that could be called on every play that's just not always called. So it's, should there be times when the rules are officiated differently versus not, right? It's a very interesting debate to have, and I think it's worse in football than other sports.
I feel like we might just think that because we pay more attention to that sport than
That's
others.
That's true. I mean, there are certainly bad calls in the NBA. I mean, there are all kinds of conspiracies in the NBA about teams getting more free throws than other teams because the league wants them to win, but I don't believe that.
I mean, things are just ticky-tacky sometimes.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the right team won. It was the team that I picked. I really feel that Terry Bradshaw pulled
the team that I picked.
An Adam Scheffner and ruined the Tom Brady-Andy Reid retirement.
Yeah.
The way
he tried to break it.
Yeah, he was like, "You're gonna retire now, big guy?" And of course, he's not gonna be like, "Yeah, I wanted you to be the one to say that." He also really body shamed him in that interview. It was really weird. Yeah. It was really he was like, "Waddle on over here, big guy. Come on over. Let him through." I was like, "Terry, what are you doing?" It was real awkward.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was just it made me feel weird.
Did the team that you were rooting for, Cassidy, win? I don't know if you were rooting for a team.
I don't like the Chiefs, so it was...
Okay, any, so it's...
I don't...
It's a bad Super Bowl.
Prefer a lot of football teams, sure. But I know which ones I don't like.
Okay, fair. Well,
I was rooting for Philly, too, because I picked Philly, so yeah. That's fine. All right. That's a wrap on the Super Bowl, I guess. I was just bummed, right, because we were so close. Not like we made it to the title game, but like I was still bummed. Let's talk about free agency. We didn't do our free agency episode. I've got a couple lingering things. I've got
I'm excited.
My least favorite thing, and I've got my favorite team from free agency.
All right, let's go. Let's hear
it. So my least favorite thing, and I want to try to back up a little bit because I might get a little heated.
Yeah,
the New Orleans Saints have got to be the dumbest team in the NFL.
Wow,
I cannot express enough how stupid it was to sign Derek Carr to the amount of money they did.
Okay.
So here's the thing. I'm going to read you these stats from Derek Carr last year, if I can find them. They're right here. So last year, Derek Carr in 2022 had 24 touchdowns to 14 interceptions, a 61% completion percentage, and 3,500 passing yards. Okay?
Okay.
The Saints quarterbacks in total last year had 24 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, 66% completion percentage, and 3,900 passing yards. So, same touchdown to interception ratio, better completion percentage, more yards. They paid almost quadruple what they were paying the quarterback position last year, this year, for worse stats. And they have no money. They have like $80 million in dead cap on the salary this year from all the veteran players that they've had to cut and move on from. They're still paying Drew Brees this offseason, right? Like, I just don't...
That's not totally
unheard of. They will... I know that's not unheard of, but what I'm saying is that they refuse to just cut their losses and rebuild the football team. They're like, let's sign Derek Carr, because that's going to fix everything. It's not. They're going to finish third in the division this year.
Oh, that's so false.
And it's going to be... Everybody's going to be like, oh, no, what happened? And I don't, like, dislike Derek Carr, but he's not this $150 million quarterback that's going to lead your team to the playoffs.
Well, he's not making $150 a year.
No, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you if it wasn't for the state of the South, because I completely disagree with you. I think they went out and got a stabilizing force because no one else has anything
there. Sure, okay. But if that's your... Okay, so if that's your argument, is it worth going for it to win your division for one, maybe 2 years because nobody else is ready, knowing you're not going to advance any further? Is that worth completely ruining your...
Advancing any further being...
Like, what? They're not going to win any playoff games next year.
Oh, I disagree.
You think they're going
to
win...
I thought the team was good enough to win the division last year. Well, they have super strong defense.
They wouldn't go back to Jameis Winston.
Chris Olave and maybe if we ever see Michael Thomas come back are going to be a great duo.
He did sign back with them for a young
tight end, Juwan Johnson.
I do
just
like
scores touchdowns.
Johnson. He does score a lot of touchdowns. Look, it's not that I dislike some players on their roster at all. It's just that they're spending so much money on a guy that's not going to... That, according to the most recent year in football, is not playing any better than Andy Dalton last year. And how many times did we say they should bench Andy Dalton last year?
I mean, I didn't say that. You did.
It just made no sense why they weren't calling it that. Cassidy, back me up.
Okay, so I did ask Adam how to study for this.
Okay, great.
I don't know anything about football.
How did those results come about?
He just told me to agree with him. Okay. I tried to do research on why this was happening, as well as all the other things that were on the rundown.
Sure.
I didn't understand any of them.
Oh, gosh.
So
we're doing great. We're doing great.
Shoot.
Yeah. Clearly, I should definitely be a guest on a football podcast.
Yeah, it's totally fine. So, I mean, I guess, like, what... To frame it a different way, like, in any sport, there are teams that have, like, veteran players that leave, right? And most of the time, when that happens, when you've, like, reached a peak and your high player guys are, like, leaving and your team's not young anymore, it's time to rebuild the roster. And I just feel like that's what time it is for the Saints, right? That makes sense, right? It's time for them to cut their losses and rebuild.
I think because the other three teams are about to enter that phase or are already in that phase, to claim the opportunity,
you
might as well take it.
I understand the desire to do that. I do. But there's a difference between we have a legitimate chance, and we disagree on this, obviously, to do actual damage, and we're going to be the best loser. I think... I'm not ready to write off that whoever is the starting quarterback for the Panthers next year doesn't lead them to the division title. I'm also, to pivot to my favorite team, the Atlanta Falcons crushed free agency, and they've got a tons of great draft capital, including the number 8 pick, which is going to be an amazing player because the first 4 or 5 picks are going to be quarterbacks. I'm not ready to write off the Atlanta Falcons.
I would like that to be the case.
I'm not ready to write off the Atlanta Falcons after they sign Caleb McGarry re-signing, big offensive tackle.
I don't know if a re-signing really counts as like adding.
Sure, I think it does. Taylor Heinicke, which I'm not sold on Desmond Ridder. We've talked about this, and we'll talk about him in more detail. I'm not sold on Desmond Ridder, but Taylor Heinicke is a good guy to step up and win games if you need to. Jesse Bates was a huge signing, the safety from the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep,
that's true. David Onyemata is a defensive tackle that not many people know about, but he was signed to a pretty sizable deal. You put him next to Grady Jarrett. And then a favorite move that I liked was a 5th-round pick for former third overall pick Jeff Okuda from Ohio State. I just think that they are doing so many great things on defense, and they have this very interesting offense that, you know, maybe if Lamar Jackson goes there. I'm not ready to call the Saints better than either of those two teams right now.
Oh, I think they're definitely better than Atlanta.
But you semi-agree with the Carolina point?
I mean, Carolina can be very scary depending on how their quarterback comes in and is able to perform as a rookie. And we've seen rookies come in and do phenomenal jobs, but we know how good that defense is. Now, the offense is obviously going to be different this year because of getting rid of DJ Moore and CMC. I know he wasn't there the back half of the year, but he's not there.
They still were one of the best running teams in the NFL. I mean, Dr. Foreman's not coming back, but Chuba Hubbard was part of that.
They got our boy Miles Sanders.
They did. That's very
Penn State.
Everybody listening, I promise Cassidy will be featured more prominently in the back half of the episode. But she told me she was going to do research.
She tried.
I tried so hard.
Anyways. Well, we're going to talk about Lamar Jackson next. Did you have anything to say about Lamar Jackson?
Let's go.
You guys are putting a lot of faith in me.
So Josh and I fought about this at work.
Oh, I'm excited.
We actually
to hear
did
about
fight
it,
about
then.
This at work.
I'm ready.
As this close is gonna, to as a
since you're saying
why
that this
save
is
it for the pod.
That's usually normally what happens. Yeah,
we try to say we'll save it for the pod, but
no, usually we just have heated debates personally and then we're like, I see what you mean, and then we calm down. But since this is apparently the season opener, which I disagree with, this is going to be the season that I'm just fiery about everything.
He did say that. I'm normally the fiery one, and he's normally not.
So season 6, here we go, even though it doesn't start for like another 4 episodes.
Why do you hold the wrong opinion that Lamar Jackson doesn't deserve what he's asking for?
I'm really just excited, and I'll go back to your point. If you're going based off Derek Carr his last year, well, then Lamar's by far worse.
Okay, that's an interesting argument for you to make that I can't totally refute in this second, only because you need 7 minutes to watch this clipped video that I made from 2022 and 2021 only, where it's all clips. I didn't make this, by the way. I'm joking. It's from Warren Sharp, Warren Sharp Football. He made a 6.5-minute clip, and I will retweet it right now on the Simultaneous Catch Twitter. If anybody wants to go check it out, it's Simultaneous Catch. This is a full 6.5-minute clip of only passes from the pocket and movement in and out of it for throws with touch and accuracy and arm strength, all things that people are saying that he dropped off on the last 2 years, all things that people say that he's struggled with, and this is just like video evidence proof that it's just not true.
Do you want to tell me the stats for Derek Carr that you read that were so bad?
24 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, 61%. And that also wasn't my argument, just so... My argument was that it's not better than what the Saints had. That was my argument.
But you're
so
saying that
spending
you don't...
more money
no,
for
okay,
worse play.
Sure. Your argument, though, was that you don't pay him $150 over 3 years, right?
Sure.
Because of...
For a 30-plus-year-old quarterback who has never...
We're going to give 50-plus guaranteed million to a quarterback that last year had 17 total touchdowns?
Yes. Yes.
Versus at least 7 interceptions?
He's also
25 interceptions.
He's also 25 years old, I think.
And coming off multiple games for the past 2 years.
He's not missed as many games as people have said he is. And but, even if he has, there's... Hold on, I have this other stat right here. Where is it? No, I lost it. Man, I was really on a roll. Okay, so prior to turning 24 years old, this is total touchdowns by any player. It's going to be quarterbacks because they're including throwing and running with all these, right? Total touchdowns prior to turning 24 years old. Lamar Jackson holds the record with 87, right?
Okay.
Second place is Justin Herbert with 77. Dan Marino's down at 70. Patrick Mahomes is only 59.
Okay.
Right? So I'm saying that, like, this guy, yes, has been banged up the last year and a half, probably. But for the rest of his early career, he's been one of the best players. And I'm not saying that he deserves, like, Patrick Mahomes money or Josh Allen money, but he deserves somewhere a little bit below that, and certainly more than Deshaun Watson. And I know that, like, that is so layered and nuanced.
Yeah, you can't,
I know
that statement doesn't even make sense, because Deshaun Watson now has more than them.
Does he actually make annually more than Patrick and Allen?
I'm pretty positive.
I know that he has more guaranteed money, but I didn't know annually.
So anyways, I guess we should even say first off what our opinions are. We didn't even say. We just started debating.
I think that Lamar Jackson deserves what he's asking for. That's my opinion.
So I
just think that, like, a young quarterback that has had so much success deserves so many more chances to continue.
And I guess
to do
that'll also, there's another avenue to take this as to what is your definition of success.
Unanimous MVP.
Once.
He's had some playoff. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So unanimous once. MVP. So you don't get to base your whole. You
unanimous MVP
something.
Has only happened once or twice in the entire history of the sport. So you can't be like, once.
Okay, yeah. So, okay. So he had one really great year. And then you're going to say you deserve 45 plus guaranteed million a year?
For everybody listening, Josh is not being facetious when he says really great. That's a really high term of praise for Josh.
Yeah, it was a really, I mean.
Using really great's really good.
I mean, that's what it was. There's a reason. I agree. And I have to say, I'm the Lamar Jackson fan. Last year I came on and said, Baltimore's going to the Super Bowl.
We both had
the first three games.
We both had
I said Lamar is the MVP.
Yeah.
And the stats verify that. The first three games, he had 10 total touchdowns, passing 10 passing touchdowns, 12 if you include his rushing, only two turnovers.
Yeah.
The following nine games he played, 7 touchdowns to 5 interceptions.
Right.
I don't
and
even know about fumbles.
And he missed some of the time.
And then he missed the rest of the season. So the fact is, you can't bet on yourself, push it all into the table, lose, and then still say you beat the house. You didn't.
I'm not going to disagree with that statement, because that's true. You can't do that. But I think that he did bet the house, right? And we applauded him for that, right?
Yeah,
and
I thought it was great. And
he,
beginning
of the game,
he backed 100%.
It up. And my argument is, if he doesn't get injured, then I think he continues that the whole year.
But he didn't.
So now,
he didn't get injured against Buffalo week 4 when everything turned around and went bad. Poorly.
Buffalo's a great team.
Uh-huh. They sure are. You did the thing of making Lamar Jackson fall off into obscurity.
I just think that it's unfair that there's also, because there's also another facet to this, right? I don't think we're going to get to a point where we agree on this aspect of it, which is fine. But the other avenue of this is that no other team has made an offer or even, like, met with him, which they're allowed to do because it's the non-exclusive franchise tag. So other teams are allowed to talk and offer him something. So the fact that nobody's doing that blows my mind.
I think they know how much he wants, and they're not going to, especially for, they're not going to give up 2 first-round picks, do that, and then.
Well, he requested a trade, so it would be better to do that than it would be to actually trade for him, because 2 first-round picks is probably less than you would need to trade if it was a straight-up trade.
Right, but I don't think anybody's going to do that regardless.
I think they should. I think the Atlanta Falcons should absolutely be pounding the table right now for this.
If he didn't try to reset a market, I would agree with you.
Sure.
But he, we said during our debate at work, it's not fair that Cleveland messed it all up.
It's not. You're true. It's not. That's not.
But when, and Lamar's the one that came out and tweeted this when, like, people were like, Baltimore offered him 200 guaranteed. He said no. They offered me 133.
It was 3
over
for
3 years. Yeah. That's 44 points.
Sure,
change.
Way more money than we'll ever see.
Sure,
but
that you don't. In my opinion, Lamar's not the number one quarterback in the league.
No,
but that is putting himself in the 10 plus best, and he deserves that.
I think
should have been accepted.
I mean, I can't argue whether or not I would accept it, because of course I would. That's ridiculous. But I think that he is a top 5 quarterback in the NFL.
Okay.
And I think that what he's asking for is top five money, because even if guys like Burrow still haven't been paid yet, and Herbert will eventually be paid too, like, even if those guys haven't been paid yet, they will be paid that kind of money. And I think that Lamar knows that, and also the pay scale continually goes up with the cap going up every year. So for him to get this deal now is going to be different in 2 or 3 years anyway.
It's just not going to work.
Whatever. I would say I think he's going to end up staying with the Ravens after all this is said and done, especially with the OBJ news now that he has signed there. I don't think Odell signs with that team without Lamar being like, don't worry, I'm going to play for them.
I feel like that would just be undercutting Lamar himself.
Yeah, I think that I feel like Lamar probably has gotten to a point where nobody's talking to him. And also, he's really hurting himself for the fact that he's to his own agent right now. Like, I think it's unfortunate, because I have no problem with guys doing that. I think that's great to, you know, hold the power for yourself. But, like, just to have somebody do the backdoor chat so that you don't have to be the one saying things, I think, is something he's missing out on right now. Because I don't think any team's just going to call Lamar, right? But if he had an agent, I feel like they'd be like, hey,
I mean, Lamar thinks that people should be calling Lamar.
I think so, too.
Well, then he doesn't need an agent.
I think there's like 4 or 5 teams in the NFL right now that shouldn't be calling Lamar. That's like it. So, it's ridiculous. I wanted to have this quick conversation about the rookie quarterback contract, because I think we've gotten to a point where we're doing too much.
Okay.
And I'm gonna run off these stats I got. Casting time, you want to? I feel bad, but we will get. We do have stuff prepped.
If I had anything to say, I'd say it.
I'll say we do have some fun stuff prepped in a minute here. This is the last thing before we get to that. But I have some numbers here from, again, Warren Sharp Football. So since 2011, that's when the rookie. For your sake,
thank you.
Before 2001, was it all rookie contracts, or was it just first year? Or was it just first round?
I don't know what year. You literally said nothing.
So the rookie pay scale, there's a pay scale now.
Yeah.
There didn't used to be.
I didn't know if it was sooner than 2011. 2001.
2011 was...
Okay, 2011. You said 2001.
Oh, sorry. Yes, 2011 was when the rookie...
No, it was all players.
It was just that the first round became ridiculous, right?
Yes.
So, before 2011, anybody who was drafted had to then negotiate their contract with the team. Now, they still kind of do, but there's a pay scale now. So, for whatever pick you are, you can only make a certain amount for a certain amount of years as a rookie. But there were times when, like, the number one overall pick was a quarterback and would hold out because they weren't being paid enough money. Like, I think Matt Stafford got a $100 million contract right after he was drafted in 2009.
Yeah, before it was pretty, when that was happened, the first round was pretty weird.
It was pretty insane. So now it's different, and there's a pay scale, meaning that you can have a quarterback way cheaper than any other team if he's very good very soon. And then there's this thing called a 50-year option, where you can keep him for another year really cheap. But this is a thing that we talk about during draft season, about how important that 50-year option is and having a rookie quarterback on a pay thing, right? So, since 2011, there have been 38 first-round quarterbacks that have been drafted, okay? Amongst all of them, since 2011, they've made a combined 1,909 starts. Their record is 1,034-1,035-7 ties.
Okay.
Okay? Only one of those 38 quarterbacks since 2011 has won a championship, and that's Patrick Mahomes. And he did win it on his rookie deal, okay?
Okay?
That's the one quarterback. Now, I will also say the little asterisk here is that technically Carson Wentz and the Eagles were on their way to that the year he got injured, and they did win that year, but it was not Carson Wentz that did it.
Okay.
So that's a little bit of an asterisk. Of those 38 quarterbacks, 10 are still on their rookie deal, so I don't want to like include them in these stats because we don't know yet, right? They could all go win a championship. One of them could win next year, right? It would change it. So just using the 28 left, only 11 of those 28 quarterbacks were given a second deal by the team that they were drafted. That's only 39%. Most of them were cut or the deal expired and signed somewhere else. Of the 11 that got the second contract, only one was given another one after that. That was Cam Newton. He was cut the following year. So if we're making this argument about how valuable it is and how great it is, it has not been even remotely successful for anybody, because only one team has even won the Super Bowl. But if we want to make the argument that, okay, not only one team wins every year, right, so it can't be a quarterback that is falls into the stats every year, only one, two, three have made the Super Bowl, and they lost. Burrow and Goff both did it on their rookie deals. They both lost. Newton did make the Super Bowl, but that was after he got his contract extension. So that's only two other ones that have made it. The three other of these 38 quarterbacks to even make the final four, right? This is not even making the Super Bowl, are Blake Bortles, Andrew Luck, and Josh Allen. So I think that what we're doing here is we're so obsessed with the actual value. There is genuinely real value to having a quarterback that's great on a cheaper amount of money. But spending so much draft capital and time worrying about it and time worrying about, oh, we can't pay our quarterback because that's going to ruin everything, is not working at all. And so I think that, and this is tied to Lamar, I think that we're so worried about paying guys that are actually really good and elite, because I don't think the argument is that Lamar Jackson isn't really good. It's that he's been injured lately and has only played to his unanimous MVP level once or twice, right? That's the argument. It's not that he's not a really good quarterback. So, but what we're doing is we're so obsessed with this cheap quarterback play on rookie deals that we're not finding success. The average starting quarterback for playoff teams last year, let me find this real quick, I just had it, was in their 30s. It was 31, I think. It's 29 or it's 29 and a half, right? It's 28.8 if we remove Tom Brady.
Of last year?
Yeah, of last year.
Sounds wrong.
It's 29.
I believe you, but last year was like a famously young class. I'm surprised.
So again, like, it is much older quarterbacks than we are like realizing, right? And I think that I'm not saying that, you know, every team needs to be jumping on to the let's grab a veteran quarterback and win kind of thing, because then you get guys like Derek Carr who aren't going to do that well.
Is that being...
I'm really pivoting myself against
Derek
Carr here.
Is that
Derek
being
Carr
swayed
this is going to come back to me
by the NFC? Because yeah, Mahomes so I will is the say, oldest in the AFC at 28,
so I'll go back,
isn't he?
I'll go back to the to the number. This is from 2 years ago. So this is in the last 2 years.
Oh.
Yeah, so in the last 2 years.
Last year.
So including 2 years ago, Tom Brady is definitely skewing the scale. But even removing him, you have Ben Roethlisberger, who was 39, Aaron Rodgers, who was 38, Kirk Cousins, who was 34, Matt Stafford, was 34, Ryan Tannehill, 33, this year, Geno Smith, 33, Derek Carr, 30, Jimmy Garoppolo last year, 30, Dak Prescott, 29. So yes, it's a very NFC heavy there, but they're still older quarterbacks on deals that aren't their rookie contracts. So while, yes, I feel like there is value there in the concept and idea of it, right? If you could have a cheaper guy and a younger guy that's really good and not have to be, and you could spend your money on, yeah, that makes sense. But it's not working. It's only worked for one team.
I mean, I think I don't disagree with anything that you're saying. Mm-hmm. I think we've also seen a shift occur in the last handful of years, mm-hmm, of how you're trying to win your Super Bowl, and that is by what I don't like of, mm-hmm, you're buying your Super Bowl by going and getting,
sure,
the free agents. So,
sure,
that is much easier now with a guy on a young contract.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't make the Super Bowl, you're trying to put your chips in, right?
Sure.
So the Chargers last year, I think, is a great example that,
mm-hmm,
they didn't make it, but they went free agent crazy, made a,
yeah,
lot of people excited,
sure,
about their team because of all the free agents they were able to acquire, because they had a Justin Herbert on his,
sure,
rookie contract,
yeah,
paying him almost nothing.
Right.
Comparatively, right. I mean,
yeah, it's still millions.
But so I see what you're saying. I understand, because I mean, I think most of the time you'll see that, I mean, Mahomes is an outlier because,
yeah. But that's what I'm saying, is he's the outlier. It's not worrying for anybody else. I think that we are so afraid of not doing this thing that everybody thinks is like how you do it, that we're not going to pay a guy like Lamar Jackson again. We don't have to dive back into the debate about whether or not he deserves it. But I think part of the fear is we know we can't win if we're paying our quarterback X, and that's just not true.
So I think the thought process behind it, though, is, and I think you'll disagree because you're obviously higher on the Falcons than I am, but if Lamar is not the missing piece to an Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl.
I think he is.
Well, I know you would think he is. You think seems like you think Desmond Ridder is going, or Taylor Heineke, excuse me, sorry.
No, I don't
think
that.
You don't believe.
I think the Falcons, again, should go for Lamar. But
so, I mean, if they go, if they get Lamar this year, you think you have, I mean, I think everything takes a year to acclimate, right? Most of the time, like nobody,
most of the
people
time,
don't come in and make the super instantaneous impact
outside of the Rams. So, but they then, also did the thing that you said that you hate, which is they signed all kinds of other people as well.
So, but it, sure. And if Atlanta does that, they don't win the Super Bowl this year.
Sure.
Then they're thinking, oh, like we can't go get those other missing pieces to help Lamar do it because now we're strapped for cash.
Sure. And I'm not saying that doesn't make sense, but what I'm saying is that the other way is not working. Right, and I think that my favorite thing about sports in general, but especially the NFL, is that it zigs and zags back and forth. Trends always change because the other team, when everybody's zigging, says, let's be the one that zags. And it normally works because if everybody's doing one thing and you're the one team doing it a little bit differently, then nobody else is prepared for that. So everybody in the league is like, rookie quarterback cheap, and then we'll spend all of our money elsewhere. So I'm waiting for the team to be like, and it's almost kind of happened where you just said like some of these teams are going all in and winning, like the Rams that did it 2 years ago. But like, and also the Chiefs zagged too. They got rid of Tyreek Hill. They got rid of all the other pieces to pay their quarterback, right?
But the Chiefs went the other way.
And it worked. Like it's different than this.
Did so much through the draft. Like they had so many rookies starting.
They have so much draft capital, man. Like I am so afraid of the Chiefs next year.
So are you saying, not really, no, this isn't what you're saying, but you're saying like getting the older quarterback. So are you saying the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl this year?
We don't know that Aaron Rodgers is really going there.
Their owner said he's going
to
be here.
He said he wants to be there, but I don't see it happening, man.
I think it's going
to
happen.
I mean, probably, but I don't really want it to happen in my division. Okay, that's fine. Something to think about. And we'll be obviously talking about it a lot as we cover the draft coming up here. We'll have our mock draft pretty soon, and then our sixth straight year of draft coverage, which is pretty exciting.
Oh, man.
So let's get to Cass. This is an intervention live on Simultaneous Catch. Your outfits are too good. It's making us all feel bad.
That's true.
I offered to take Josh to Goodwill.
There was no offer.
Oh, there was no. Uh-oh.
She said.
I'll pull my text up right now.
Please do.
Josh.
Please do.
Oh my God. See, he's the money where your mouth is kind of guy.
I will.
So wait, hold on. There was supposed to be an offer because you wanted Cassidy to help you find better clothes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, just read the text.
Okay. So Josh texts me and says, what the hell?
Okay.
And I said,
keep
what
in mind,
I
this,
do?
Is a, this is a PG podcast.
I
just
apologize.
Don't swear.
You have to bleep that out.
Who's the editor for this?
It's me.
Yeah, okay. Then that's your problem.
Great.
I was looking at him and I said, you have to edit. I want you to edit the episode.
Continue
with the text, though. I'm so anxious. With excitement.
You said, I just saw the picture you shared online, and why do you always have the most gorgeous dresses? And
it's
I
true.
Said,
it's
I found
true
it
does.
At Goodwill.
Yeah.
And I said, I would keep an eye out for some dresses for you in the future. So
not an invitation.
That's not an invitation.
Okay. But then, but then Josh says, you may have to start taking me to this legendary Goodwill. Okay.
Asking for an invitation.
Inviting for it. Yeah. Okay.
That
Did
sounds
you
like we're going to.
Oh, thank you.
This is that audio looks amazing. This is the podcast now. We're just going to start doing these. Like,
I didn't say I wouldn't take you.
It's
I said
true.
I would keep an eye out for
it's
them
true.
For you.
But
and
you
when
also
I see them,
offer.
Then we can go.
It made it sound like you
then
keep
I'll
an eye
this
out.
Is the,
like, let me know.
This is the crux of the podcast. Was just to corner you about this one issue.
I actually,
it
yes.
It wouldn't be the first time Josh has done this to me.
Oh, no.
This
it's not the first
time
Josh did it to anybody.
That's fair. He does that sometimes. fair enough. Regardless, one really awesome thing about Cassidy for the hundreds of people listening.
Other than her great outfits.
And the fact that she's a historian and a big Lord of the Rings fan is that she's a trivia master. Okay? Yes. Cassidy runs Trivia Night every last Monday of the month.
Do you want to give the address?
Anyway.
Technically, it's every fourth Monday.
Is it really every fourth Monday? But how many months are there that have five Mondays?
It's pretty often.
I'm curious. That wasn't a challenge. I'm genuinely curious.
I can't get
it. So it's got to be like
interesting. I would not. I would not think it was more than not. I don't know.
Is it really more than not?
Well, she said
it's often.
Interesting, because the month prior ends like right, like on a Sunday or something or a Saturday. Yeah, okay, that's interesting.
All right,
now I have to look at the calendar. Regardless, so we're gonna do a little trivia here. I told Cassidy to do this, so hopefully she did. So she's got 5 trivia questions. Now I pose it to you: do you want to go head to head, or do you want to do it together?
I don't care. I mean, I'm probably not going to do very
so
well.
So here's what's fun: I think we should do it together because I have 5 questions for Cassidy that are like basic football knowledge.
So do we get to go against each other?
So then? It'll be like us versus her.
Oh,
or do I'm you feeling want, very I mean, targeted here?
You will get.
I've made it pretty clear. Targeting is flat.
You will get
about.
4 out of the 5 questions that I have, but that it's part of the joke, and I'll let when we get to that, you'll understand.
Trick question. Okay, I'm ready.
So Cassidy has 5 questions. This is supposed to be. So again, Cassidy is a historian.
They're vaguely.
So it's supposed. I said tied to NFL history. Yes. I don't know. Yes. If, I don't know what that'll mean. I don't want to give you too much. I wanted to let you have some leeway.
I don't know how much you guys know about the history of football. I tried to keep it NFL focused.
That's fine.
And there's a lot of college football history, and I didn't want to get into
We wouldn't
that.
Have been done well with that.
I don't know how well I'm going to do with NFL history.
I know that the...
It's not directly history.
I know that the highest scoring NFL football game of all time is like 273 to nothing. Oh, or 290, and it was a college football team. I think it was like Georgia Tech.
I was just reading a bunch of stats. That's the only about college the football stat football I know. And was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
It is a very interesting... what's the word? Inauguration. How it started.
Let's do it.
Okay. I came prepared. I even read a whole book about football.
Wow.
You really read a whole book?
I read a whole book. It was gifted to me by a friend.
Oh, that's true.
Are you the friend?
No, I'm not the
No.
Friend. I am a friend, but I'm not the friend.
Yes. My friend weird. Harmony gave me a book to read about this, and I'm going to shout it out later because it was pretty interesting.
Okay.
And inspired one of these things.
Okay.
So, just question one, just throw it out there.
Okay.
Who was the Yale player in 1880 to create a new set of rules that would later grant him the title of Father of American Football?
Oh, dear God.
Really? I thought you guys would get this. I'll be honest.
1880?
Graham Hudson.
Vince Lombardi.
No.
Oh, dang. Who is it?
It's Walter Camp.
Don't even know his name.
Okay, cool. Well, the next question might be a little easier for you then.
Camp or Kemp?
Do you want to tell us some history about...
No.
Oh, so you're not going to like back these up with fun things.
Some of them do. This one I thought would be like a fun icebreaker. I really thought you guys would know that. So I didn't come prepared, but basically
Walter Camp.
He played
egg on your face.
Football. Yeah, that's my bad.
That's okay.
And then there was like a meeting about... college football rules, because there was really no like standardized way to play.
Sure.
People would introduce rules.
It's
kind of
like rugby, right?
And he introduced a bunch of rules. And then people were like, oh yeah, that's probably a good idea that we should do that.
Okay.
Which leads into our second question.
Okay.
Can you name 2 of the elements of the game that are still relevant today established from his rules?
Yes.
There are 4. You just need to name 2 of them.
The line of scrimmage.
That is one of them.
Okay.
Does that mean I don't get to say that?
No, we're doing this together.
Oh, I thought we were competing.
Oh, we can compete if you want.
Oh, I mean...
Yeah, let's compete. We're both 0-0, but I have 1 of them.
Well, that's not fair.
Were you going to say the line of scrimmage?
That would have been... And I would think... I guess I don't really get, like, how...
So I'm assuming, if I'm understanding this correctly, is that it wasn't really a game... that we know of football at one point, right? It was kind of like rugby or a hybrid.
Yes.
And then this guy came along and introduced rules that made it what we know as American football, and that there are at least 4 things that remain today from that.
So it was like crazy popular among college students.
Yeah.
That's like mostly how football came to be in America. And then this guy played it in college, but was like, this is really fun. We need to establish what's actually going to happen here if we want to make this a thing. Because everyone was doing their own thing, and it was getting crazy. And actually, Yale, or I should say, the city of New Haven banned...
The new sport or the old sport?
The new sport.
Oh, that's funny.
There was no football allowed.
That's why the Yale sport
sucks. I have a proposal.
Okay.
I think we can tackle this one together, and then we'll start.
Sure.
Because eliminating 4.
So line of scrimmage makes the most sense. That's why...
Line of scrimmage makes sense.
Because it would be something that has been in the game for a very long time.
I'm really feeling like the forward pass, but I can definitely see that being 1900s.
I think that was later. I don't think the forward pass was early.
I hear you.
I feel like it's one of the things is probably... like how much a score is worth, right?
Oh, I feel like that changed in the 1900s too. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, this is why it's tricky. Like, I don't know if it's something about kicking.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if that was integrated as early as this. But I feel like maybe it is. Maybe, like, it's saying you could pause and kick a field goal. Maybe a field goal is one of the four.
Yeah, I mean, I'll okay. go with your gut. Are you thinking?
Which one do you like better?
Between
field goal
or
and
score?
Or
I think score versus. Came late.
Okay, so let's say that a field goal was something.
I was just going to say kicking.
Or kicking.
It can be so vague.
Like kicking.
I mean, it can be whatever you want it to be.
Either's wrong, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Dang it. Okay.
So you had four options. You got the line of scrimmage, yeah. but it was also the snap.
Okay.
11 player teams.
Oh,
previously,
okay.
there were 20 to 30 players on each team.
That would what be. What does it mean, the snap?
Like,
you
that,
just
that
had
play,
them all the entire time.
That a play starts with a snap. Yeah. I feel like if it was based off rugby, it would be like a scrum to start.
Yeah.
That
exactly.
So silly.
And then the concept of downs.
Okay, so it was all structure. It was yeah. they're all structure okay. rules that it's
there
not
were
like,
not really rules
yeah,
before he
okay.
came up with them.
Can you imagine watching an NFL game where it's 20 versus 20?
Be a lot of fun.
For that, maybe, but it'd also be so chaotic.
That's what I was imagining the whole time I was reading this. I was like, there'd how is so, that even possible?
There'd be no space in the field. The field would have to be bigger.
Well, let's get on it.
Alright, that sounds good.
Alright.
There were also not really.
Here comes the competition.
So we're both 0-0, but the last three questions.
Yes. Okay. Slightly more recent history that we're getting into there.
Okay.
The creation.
Okay.
What was the price of a ticket to the first Super Bowl?
Ooh.
Oh, I have seen this.
And
what
I have
think?
Some background information written down if you need that, but I thought this was way more fun than asking.
Background information, like you can tell us how much a hamburger was worth?
Well, I could tell you the teams that played, what the score was, where they played.
Well, it's
it,
the first
and
Super Bowl, so it was the Packers or the Chiefs versus the Packers,
mm-hmm.
right? So I knew that, but I don't know.
Cost. Yeah. I mean,
what was
I'm
the?
Just
can you tell me
something.
The year? I can't remember the year.
It was January 15th,
1967. So 1967. I'm gonna guess that a ticket to the first Super Bowl was $99.
Josh, thoughts?
Yeah, I know it's definitely less than that.
Less? This is the 60s, man. Like the 30s.
It was also at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, if that makes any difference.
The Coliseum, yeah.
Okay. I think it
they brought back, but
was... I'm going to go the... I know I'm going to be closer, but I'm going to go the farther extreme just for fun. I think it was $4.75.
Okay.
Okay.
It's in the middle, isn't it?
Not well. I mean, yes, technically, it was $12.
What?
Which is the equivalent of $106 today.
Okay, so I got
way.
The equivalency right.
This was also the one and only Super Bowl that didn't sell out.
Huh. That's a fun fact.
Yeah.
$12. Also, that's fascinating that as early as the second Super Bowl, they started selling them all out. Like, I know that it's obviously, you know, the most popular American sport and has been for quite some time, but to sell out, like, that's... Because it's also... They're not fake sellouts at the Super Bowl, right? Like, there are plenty of... I don't know if you know this. There are plenty of real NFL teams that fake sell out all the time because they will buy those tickets and give them away and people don't show up. Or people buy the tickets and don't show up. But, like, for the Super Bowl, it's always everybody's there, right? Because you spent money to be there, right?
Yeah, lots
of $12? That doesn't feel like a lot of money.
Yeah, $12.
I'm wondering, like, again, like, was that considered a lot of money back in 1967?
Yes.
Was it?
I mean, for the equivalent of $106, I mean...
I think $106 is a lot of money now.
Exactly. Yeah.
But we're also talking about the... First Super Bowl, right? So, like, football had been around, but the game was
but it
not
wasn't.
Popularized.
Well, but also,
like, I'm gonna go spend my $100.
But
this
is the first Super Bowl. There was a history of football before the
sure.
Super Bowl, right? Because there was
the teams had big
American Football
already.
Conference and yeah. all that, right?
This was the first time they had, like, joined them.
Interesting.
Together.
That was a really fun historical fact.
That's good. 0-0-0.
Yep.
Feeling pretty good about that.
We're bad together and apart.
Oh, if you guys didn't know these, you're definitely not going
to
get this.
Oh, no, right? Because these were
ready to pull
the warm-up questions.
This is at least a fun question,
okay.
and I want to see what responses you guys come
oh,
up with.
Oh,
all right. I'm so excited.
What was the name of the first fantasy football league created by Wilfred Bildegill Winkerbach in 1963?
Holy cow. 1963. So he was doing this when it was still the AFL.
What was the name of the fantasy football league?
Yep.
What was his last name?
Winkerbach.
Winkerbach's Wonder Kids.
Actually, let me give you one more piece of information before you make your guesses.
Okay.
I think
he was a partner in the Oakland Raiders, who were terrible in 1962, which is why him and his friends started talking about their dreams for who they would put on the team.
That's kind of fun. What's really funny is I feel like during the season this year, I wonder who invented fantasy football, because I've always said that he's the smartest person to ever live. To create fantasy football. Because there are so many people that care more about fantasy football than the actual game at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So, I will say it's really bad Raiders.
I love that guess.
I'm lightheaded.
I thought you would get a little more creative than that, but pretty good.
I tried Winklevoss Wonder Kids, but... feels a little too good.
Browns Fantasy Palooza.
Okay. That's an interesting guess. Both wrong.
Oh, no.
Or I guess
I bet wrong. I was close.
I want this to be a really good name, because then we can name our fantasy league this name next year.
It's pretty good. They went by the GOPPPL, or the Greater Oakland Pigskin Prognosticators League.
Okay, I'm going to call a little BS on your hint, because you were like, they were really bad, so they thought of this. That doesn't make me
Greater
think.
Greater Oakland.
Oakland. It was the Oakland. We should have remembered Oakland is the clue.
I didn't know that the adjective greater was enhancing Oakland.
Greater Oakland Pigskin Prognosticators.
Way to be. I can't remember his name.
I don't like that.
Wink.
Greg.
Wilfred Bildegill Winkerbach.
Wilfred.
Cool.
I'm not going to remember that, but it's fine.
Yeah, when you're in a fantasy league next year, you're going to have to, this upcoming year, you're going to have to pitch
remember
that idea.
That. Yeah.
Okay, sure. Yeah, definitely. Could be a thing.
Okay.
Chief of the last
I'm going to pull it out. So the reason, so
there's one more
my, question. I know, but I'm going to justify what I said now since it seems stupid. So she was saying that Oakland was really bad at the time,
yeah.
So I thought maybe they were thinking about a player that they wanted to get better, so I was like, oh, Jim Brown.
And
so Jim Brown's fantasy
Palooza.
I was going to say,
listen,
Palooza's,
I'm willing to give you like a half point for Palooza because it's close to prognostic.
It's not. As the trivia master here, I'm saying no, not a
That's
player.
Fair. That's fair.
Sorry, you got to get
But I appreciate that. Thank you. I'll keep
okay.
it in my heart.
Question five, and there technically is a bonus question.
Oh man,
to
here
this,
we go. There's
so
always a bonus question.
Just remember that she's going to get all of my questions wrong.
I absolutely am.
I think you're going to do it.
Definitely.
I'm going to collaborate.
Actually,
with
I
you.
Do. I think, I think you're going to get one. I think you'll get one.
Okay.
Oh god. Okay.
Final regular round question.
Yep.
What team in 1922 held dog shows at halftime, as well as dances and tomahawk throwing, and would only take players who were indigenous?
Okay, so now I think, I'm thinking, when you started, I immediately was going to say Cleveland Browns, because that would be the dog pound. That's where that came from. Because they one of the original franchises, but I actually feel like now it's going to be Washington, right?
I don't think, is this still a current team?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, the name of this team no longer exists?
Yeah, it's going to be something like...
They operated for 2 years and then shut down.
2 years.
Oh.
Is
it a really racist
think...
name? It's a
no.
kind of racist name.
Oh.
Well.
That's not where my mind was going.
If it's any help, it was coached and played by Jim Thorpe.
That does help.
I do know that name.
It
doesn't help me with the name of the...
Yeah, so now you're like saying that it's kind of racist. I'm just going to go with my original answer still, though, and I'm going to say the St. Louis Blue Jays.
St. Louis, but I do think that was a...
I think there were definitely... I don't remember if they were St.
Louis,
I'm
going
to
say the New Jersey insert and... insert a Native American slur name here.
Okay. You know, you're... Those are both guesses.
They are.
They are, indeed. It was the Ouring Indians.
The Ouring
is not a town. It's named after a dog, actually.
Okay.
So Walter Lingo created the team He knew Jim Thorpe and came up with the idea because he ran a kennel, and he breeded orang dogs, bred orang dogs.
Orang.
And then he really liked Native American history. So he saw this as an opportunity at the halftime show to show the dogs. And then the team actually tended to the dog kennels. That was their full-time job. And then when they had time left over, they
incredible.
Practiced.
So it's not racist, but it's just inaccurate because it wouldn't be Indians. It'd be Native American.
Yeah. Okay. But they were all Native American players who agreed to sign.
That's kind of incredible. I would never guess that at all.
All right, bonus really question.
Cool. Well, one second.
Oh, sorry.
I just also want to shout out, there's a book about Jim Thorpe's college career with the Carlisle Indians called The Real All-Americans by Sally Jenkins. And that's what I read that inspired this question.
The Real All-Americans
by it's Sally Jenkins. About a Native American football team.
Interesting.
In Pennsylvania. Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Bonus question is, what town were the Orang Indians from, the smallest community to ever have an NFL franchise?
Is it like a recognizable town? Like if we said the town name, like a normal person would be like, oh, I've heard of that.
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well.
Nope. I'm just asking.
I'm saying Intercourse, PA.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Green Bay, Wisconsin.
No, it's in LaRue, Ohio.
Okay, so Ohio. Yeah, okay, I should have guessed. I should have just said some reason, weird.
I just said Green Bay because I thought maybe the hint was current team that had the smallest NFL stadium.
No. Okay. Dang.
No.
All right. Well.
All right, let's go.
I've got some. So I have Team Cassidy four now. Questions that are like procedural, like playing the game. And I've got one. It's not a history question, but he might get it wrong. And I'm going to start with that one because it's hilarious that Josh and I often joke we don't know which Super Bowl it is. So what was the 2023 Super Bowl? Bonus points if you can give me the Roman numerals.
Oh, I won't be able to do that.
See, that's what I'm saying, is that we legitimately joke all the time about we do a podcast about this and never know what number Super Bowl it is.
I might be able to get this. Is it 57?
That's correct.
LVII.
That's correct. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know the numeral.
That was the one that I thought you were going to get because I figured I was like, okay, even if she wasn't paying attention, which a lot of people don't, we do a podcast and sometimes we forget what number it is, right? But you would have probably known what the first symbol was and then you could have probably counted, right? So
You're so smart. So all right, let's go.
57, won by the Kansas City Chiefs.
I did Google that as part of my study.
Well, the one Super Bowl.
Well, I just Googled the last Super Bowl in general in case you were going to talk about it. So
all right, so this is a procedural question. So you know that when the team on offense crosses the goal line, it's a touchdown, and it's worth six points, right? But what happens if that offensive team gets tackled in the opposing end zone? Do you know what that's called and how many points that's worth?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
It is. It's a rare thing that happens, but it does happen multiple times a year. So it's not something that never happens, but it is rare.
Oh, I feel like maybe you've asked me about this when we were watching football before.
It is something that we did teach you on our first day watching football together.
And you expect me to remember?
No, I'm just saying.
That was like 5 years ago.
Just saying, it'd be nice if you listened to me. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Okay, I see how it is.
He does know this, so I didn't know he was going to join your team.
Well, I haven't said the answer.
Me and Josh stick together on everything, so I would.
Do you have like a guess?
No.
So we'll do lifelines.
Okay.
So there's a song, Blank Dance.
Oh, it's a safety.
It's a safety. Yes, that's true.
That was helpful.
That is true. So it is called a safety when the offense gets tackled in the end zone, the opposite end zone. Do you know how many points it's worth?
Oh, God. Two.
That is correct. It is worth 2 points.
Whoa, let's go, Josh Cassidy.
When the team gets tackled in the end zone, it's worth 2 points. There's only there's one other play.
Daffy's.
Okay, so so you got Super Bowl 57, LVII, and a safety worth 2 points. Well done.
Oh, my God.
Question number three. When a team gets to fourth down and they go for it, what happens if they fail to gain a first down? What is it called?
I know we've talked about this too.
It would have been really funny if at the top of the episode we gave her a quick like 5 minute about how the game played and see if she like pop quiz at the end of the episode.
I believe
I would
she would
still
do.
Not
do oh, I actually believe you would do great if that was the case.
Oh, that you have so much faith in me, Josh, and I really appreciate that. Because not once have I ever shown that you should.
Incredible. Team goes forward, fourth down. They don't get it.
Hey, I still don't know what a down is, so.
Oh. I really thought. See, when I was doing these, I was like, I don't want to make them insultingly simple, right?
Because we have. You could.
Well, because we talked about the game a little bit, but I didn't. I guess I didn't. Like 6 months. I guess I overestimated.
You should, definitely.
All right, here we go. Lifeline. This is dessert.
Okay, oh, amazing. God. That's amazing.
I don't really want to go further than that.
That was really good. It's based. You can. She could say that one word. The word is a dessert.
That doesn't help me at all.
Ah.
It's a pretty good dessert, too. You can get really good ones. You can get famous ones at McDonald's. But I actually really like the ones you can get at Arby's because they do chocolate ones. That I like. It's called a turnover on downs.
Oh.
So a turnover would be okay. What it's called. Turnovers also happen on fumbles makes and interceptions sense. As well.
I definitely know what those things are, so that's good.
You don't know what a fumble or an interception is? Wow. See, I really under... Wow, okay. But, hey, 2 for 3. 2 for 3.
You're crushing it. Doing better than we did.
Question number 4. Okay, so I guess... So, after team scores a touchdown, it's worth 6 points. Excuse me. Now, there is another play that happens after every touchdown. It's called the point after touchdown. There are 2 different things you can do worth 2 different point values. What are those point values? I won't even ask you what they're called. Because that's the harder thing.
Yeah. I actually didn't hear the question because...
So you score a touchdown, it's worth 6 points. And there's always one play...
Point after attempt.
Yeah, the point after...
Point after touchdown.
I thought it was point after touchdown.
Attempt.
So attempt. There's a point attempt after the score.
They might not get it.
And there's 2 different things you can do, right? You can kick.
I'm familiar
or
with
you
that
can
one.
Go for it again and try to cross the line of scrimmage... to cross the end zone again. They're worth different points. What are the point values?
The kick is 1 point.
That is correct. Yes. That is called the extra point attempt.
That would make
the
sense.
Second one is also point value is in the name as well.
3 points.
No. Although in the XFL, there is a 3-point conversion. Mm-hmm. In the NFL, there is only a 2-point conversion.
You can't make 2 points the answer for 2 questions.
Yes.
That just doesn't seem fair.
I feel like it makes sense. There's some synergy to that.
There was going to be a hint. Like, you've already said it.
So, yes, you can go for a 2-point. So in the XFL right now, they're actually trying this new thing where there's no kicking after touchdowns.
Well, I only watch the XFL, so that's why
the XFL is actually really exciting. But in the XFL, you can go for a 1-point conversion, a 2-point conversion, and a 3-point conversion. It makes some really exciting endings. But in the NFL, there's just a 2-point conversion from the 2-yard line. Last question. If I can read my handwriting. Oh, this is my favorite question. You're not going to get it based off of the 4 other questions I asked you, so I'm sorry.
I believe we can do it.
So... Our podcast is titled Simultaneous Catch, which is a rule in the NFL rulebook. Can you try and guess what that rule means?
Yeah, so you're intelligent. You can figure this out.
Explain when simultaneous catch occurs.
When 2 people catch the ball at the same time.
That is accurate, but...
Be a little more specific.
Bit more specific. You can do it, I believe
in
you.
I don't know how you can get more specific.
You can. You can. What, like...
Just think logistically.
What 2 players have to catch it simultaneously? So if...
I'm not...
If Josh and I are on the same team and we both catch it, that's not simultaneous catch. Well, I tried to walk you to the door, but you couldn't open it.
That was a fun question.
So a simultaneous catch occurs when an offensive and a defensive player both catch at the same time because then they can't have possession at the same time. So simultaneous catch means if there's a tie for possession, the tie goes to the offensive player.
It sounds like 2 players catching the ball.
It is. You're right. You're absolutely right. But it has to be opposing players, right? If we're on the same team, that doesn't count. We just have the ball.
But it is
based off of in 2016.
I don't know if that's totally accurate.
What do you mean?
If Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis both catch ball at the same time, we'll probably be like simultaneous catch.
We would, but it's not technically that in the rule book because the tie.
I don't,
They wouldn't throw
a flag. I don't know if it has a definition, but that's technically what it is.
Basically, when we were starting our podcast, and like, it wasn't a podcast back then, it was a live show at our college in 2013, there was a famous play that happened where a defender and a receiver both caught at the same time, and there was a huge debate on whether or not they did, but then simultaneous catch became like this big debate over, it's not simultaneous catch, it is simultaneous catch, so we both possess the podcast equally, so... called simultaneous catch.
Except for today when we welcome you.
When we share it with you.
Thank you.
But the tie goes to the receiver, so it's still ours. Yeah, Cassidy, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having someone who doesn't know anything about football.
No, it's a lot of fun. Well, listen, we've had people on the show before who don't know a lot about football. Trust me.
What are your expectations for your Browns this year?
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay attention to it.
Okay.
Yep. So, but we'll let's do this because we normally like make people pick. So there are 17 games in the regular season.
They can win up to 17. How many do you think
How many wins do they win next year? Go ahead and just guesstimate. I'll write it down and we'll track this.
Nine
games. Okay. And eight. New Cleveland Browns next year. I don't think that that's a crazy number. I'm not very high on the Browns.
We'll have to see what happens if your Lamar's coming back, or I think he's going to sit out.
I just feel like he sit out the whole year. It's just sad because I love Lamar Jackson. Anyway, thank you for joining, Cassidy. We really appreciated you. I'm sorry in the first half that we weren't interacting as much, but
okay.
I think the trivia stuff is really fun.
You crushed that.
So if you want to, I know you don't really use social media a lot, but. This is your opportunity. We have thousands of people that listen to the podcast. If you want to drop any sort of like social media for somebody to follow or anything like that.
You can follow the Greenbrier Historical Society on Facebook. Historical Society and North House Museum.
Awesome. I will put it in the show description so you guys can check that out.
And if you do, you'll see a picture and you guys can figure out which is the beautiful dress.
Thank you, Josh.
That... one day we'll go to Goodwill and find, right?
Maybe.
I don't know.
No, she's going to keep an eye out for me and then tell me to go by myself.
Based on the text messages, I don't know. thanks for listening to Simultaneous Catch, guys. Make sure you check out us on Twitter. Like I said, I did retweet that 6-minute video, and I'm going to make Josh watch it. And I know at the end he's going to be like, this is just a couple of plays. Anybody can do that for any player. I was trying to do the Josh thing, too, with my hand.
My hand.
So a fun thing that I do on the episode sometimes is I turn here when I'm, like, trying to talk to the people. I don't know why I do it, but it was really hard this episode because I'm not pointing that way. Irregardless. I say irregardless a lot on the show. And
that
is
not a word.
So our Dallas correspondent texted me. He was like, just so you know, irregardless is not really a word. And I was like, dang it.
That's okay. We all have our tics.
That is one of my biggest pet peeves, is when people say irregardless.
Oh.
Regardless.
Awkward.
Regardless. Thank you for listening to the show, guys. Like I said, make sure you check us out on Twitter and Instagram. Our Instagram is Simultaneous Catch. We will be doing our mock draft episode pretty soon here. I don't know if we'll do another episode between there. I still want to do quarterback rankings, and based off of our Lamar Jackson thing, if we can find the time in the next couple weeks before mock draft, I think we can try to do one of those.
I feel like you're making me sound like I hate Lamar Jackson.
You do.
He's a top 10 quarterback.
Lamar Jackson hater certified. Joshua Thomas laughing. Thanks for listening to the show, guys. Catch you later. God bless.
Bye.